The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon, everybody. Jay Oliver here. Welcome to another edition of Ask the Medical Experts. As far as the Great Peconic Bay Medical Center is concerned, which each and every week we examine another area of the Peconic Bay Medical Center and all that one does, great personnel and everything else happening as far as what's happening in and around, welcoming in Jennifer Burns Peterson today. She's a clinical nutrition manager. It is, by the way, the month of May, which is Stroke Awareness Month, and a very, very important month of how you keep yourself healthy. That includes diet, proper nutrition, all very important aspects in both stroke prevention and treatment. We welcome Jennifer to the airwaves. So great to have you here. Thanks for coming with us.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about what you do, Jennifer, as a clinical nutrition manager, if you can define that position, my dear.
Well, the unique thing about being a clinical nutrition manager is that I get to see both the clinical side and also the food service side. So I get to interact with pretty much every single person in the building. So my main responsibility is overseeing five wonderfully talented RDs that take care of all the patients hands-on. So I have one that's in our long-term care facility and then four that are in the hospital that oversee all the patients who they do nutrition assessments, physical assessments, and diet education as needed. We also do some community programs through our cardiac and rehab and pulmonary rehab programs here. So we teach classes. We have about seven classes that go on monthly for those two programs. We're starting to do something with the Cancer Center within the next year or so. Before COVID, we would have in-person classes teaching kitchens and also lunch and learn. So patients were able to see, or the community was able to see, healthy recipes being modified from things that they absolutely loved and adored. So 2 years ago, we were featured in a wellness magazine regarding a healthy apple pie, and it was a huge hit with the community, and we were able to teach that to our patients and also our staff here. Next month, we are actually going to be doing a talk with our Parkinson's Rehab Education Series just to go over weight management for that. So that's what we do clinically here. And then food service responsibilities, I'm part of a team that helps with the menu development. So I work closely with the director of food and nutrition and also the executive chef. So we want to make sure that we're using homegrown foods here that are wholesome, organic, and grass-fed, and also provide a variety of foods that patients are familiar with, but the healthier versions for them, because we all know it's important that if we don't eat properly, we don't heal properly. So we don't want patients staying here forever. We love them to death, but we'd want them to be able to go home and successfully be healthy on their own at home. So there's a few
especially
things to do here. Yeah.
Especially, you know, as mentioned, when you look at Stroke Awareness Month, which is what we're in right now here in the month of May, and all that you do. And when you think about everything, you know, it's such an important situation regarding, you know, what you eat. And diet plays a major role, right, as far as nutrition and everything else. And you know better than anyone, right?
Definitely. One of the main things, you know, you want to be able to prevent as much as possible. So just being able to control your blood pressure and also controlling your cholesterol levels will definitely help prevent initial stroke from happening and then also any further strokes from occurring. But sometimes we don't know what's going on until the last minute, and then, you know, things happen. And unfortunately, you know, someone may suffer from a stroke if it's not caught in time. But what we like to do is make sure that if they are here for a possible stroke or they've had a stroke here, we try to provide them as much education as possible on how they can control their blood pressure and cholesterol levels through their food. And one of the ways definitely of doing that is consuming a low-fat, low-sodium diet, so get rid of that salt shaker. I grew up in a household where I didn't even know where a salt shaker was. You know, it was for decoration. That was it. My husband's family, they're putting salt on salad, which amazes me. But so get rid of that salt shaker, number one. Increase your fruits and vegetables. Change your dairy products to low-fat or fat-free. Limiting high-fat foods, so anything that's processed, those cake, cookies, limit them. I'm not saying you need to get rid of them altogether, but moderation is key. Anything that's white, so white flour, white bread, rice, pasta, anything snack, you know, the white snacks that are easy to go because they're right at the convenient, you know, they're conveniently located at the checkout centers. Any sodas, the sweets, those fancy breakfast cereals sometimes that are loaded in sugar. Increasing your fiber and definitely increasing your fluid intake, you know, making sure that you're drinking enough water to stay hydrated and also to flush out any of those high sodium foods that you may be consuming, and eating healthy fats. So your fish, your nuts and seeds. You know, we live on Long Island. We're surrounded by water, so we have access to fish all the time, which is amazing. And the other thing is, I always try to tell people to play. You know, we all say we need to increase our physical activity, but when we were kids, we just went outside. We went and played on the swing set. We ran. We rode our bicycle. We just need to find something that we're passionate about and just go back to playing. So if you have a nice balance of eating healthy and playing and having fun, you'll definitely decrease your chances of having a stroke or a recurring stroke.
No question. And, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I do a lot of the food shopping in my household, and it's almost like in the past, you know, you just pick whatever you want off the shelf. Now I look at labels, you know. I look at sodium content. I look at saturated fat, you know, because these, to me, are all contributors as far as being unhealthy. And, of course, we want to make sure we're all healthy. And a lot of the intake of food is key, and that's why I'm a label looker now. So good points made there as far as what you need to do. Now, stroke is a severe impairment of brain functions. So in essence, everything you stated, right, as far as the kind of diet good for the brain, fruits and veggies, greens, low salt content type stuff, all that plays a major role as far as healthy brain function, right?
Correct, yes. Definitely your veggies, your green leafies, the cruciferous vegetables, those would definitely help. Berries, cherries with the flavonoids, and all the antioxidants with that, the omega-3s that are coming from your fish, nuts, and oils, and then also walnuts. You know, if you look at a walnut, it looks like a brain. So sometimes you'll hear walnuts referred to as the brain food. So definitely with that, just want to watch the serving sizes because you can become mindless and just continue to eat them, and before you know it, you've consumed your entire day's worth of calories and fat just by eating the nuts and seeds. But definitely incorporating those types of foods, the veggies, your fruits and vegetables, your fish, your nuts and seeds will definitely help support any prevention or further damage from the stroke.
That's so important, no question about it. You got to eat right, folks. You know, I was just wondering, what if one has suffered a stroke? We'll get this in before the break. Jennifer, what about one who has suffered already and you are trying to kind of put them on that good road? I'm sure it's harder for those folks to get all the nutrients they need. How do you remedy this type of insufficiency?
One, we just make sure that we know their food preferences. So this way we can educate them on what their likes are and how it fits into their new healthy lifestyle. Because we do have patients here, they're like, oh, I'm 90-something years old, I've made it this long, I'm not changing my diet. But we don't want any further damage to occur, and we want them to live until they're 100, 105 years old. So definitely small changes. First, you know, educating them with, you know, getting rid of that salt shaker, getting rid of the processed foods, and then finding out what fruits and vegetables they really enjoy and making sure we bring them to them. At PBMC, we have our produce comes in every single day, so it's as fresh as it possibly can, other than us going to the farm ourselves. So our produce is phenomenal here, and most of our patients, they want to take it home a lot of times. So that's really what we need to do is with that. If there's any issues with they're having problems with swallowing, chewing, they need some sort of supplementation, we can either start with adding snacks throughout the day, because sometimes patients don't want to have three large meals. They'll eat small mini meals throughout the day. Or we can also provide them with supplementation like Ensure, puddings and so forth.
Yeah. My grandmother used to be on that Ensure. No, well, good product. We got more to do, more to talk about staying healthy. And it is Stroke Awareness Month. What you need to know to follow that road of health. We'll come back to a very important conversation right after these words. Part two of our conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Jay Oliver here. Special guest today, Peconic Bay Medical Center has some medical experts. We've got a good one, Jennifer Burns Peterson. It's Stroke Awareness Month this month of May. It's all about staying healthy, healthy diet, proper nutrition, important aspects in both stroke prevention and treatment. Jennifer, let's continue. What about some of the very important nutrients out there a stroke patient should consume that will assist in their recovery? How important is that?
It's very important because a lot of times what happens is our patients who are suffering from a stroke, they may have an ability to get up on their own, so they're sitting a long time. And we don't want them to have any pressure injuries. So definitely want to keep that skin integrity. And that's really going to be coming from your water-soluble vitamins and also some other fat-soluble vitamins. So important vitamins to make sure that they're getting is vitamin A, C, iron, calcium, and fiber. And that's all going to be naturally occurring from fruits and vegetables. So people can eat those in raw form, cooked form. Wonderful things that we have now are those ninjas and those juicers and so forth. So they can also make them into smoothies. They can make them into purees with no problems. So if anyone's having any swallowing or chewing difficulties, you'll still be able to get all that in. Definitely proteins. You want to make sure that you're consuming some sort of protein, whether that's coming from your animal products, your nuts, your seeds, legumes, tofu, and so forth. The other important vitamin is our B vitamins. B vitamins get used up very quickly in our body, especially in a stressful situation. It's a water-soluble vitamin, so if you take too much of it, it just turns your urine very yellow and won't do any damage to you. But that's definitely something that is affected. So that's your thiamine, which is going to turn all the food into some sort of energy. So this way the person's not weak. Riboflavin, which helps with the cellular respiration. Niacin helps with the nervous system, so that's the digestive system and also skin health. So that's keeping everything working all together. B6 is your metabolism foods. B12 is anemia. And also that's a lot of times where people feel tired and weak. So there's a different ways to get all the foods in there, but the B vitamins are necessarily coming from animal products. There are ways to supplement that with, you know, dietary supplements over the counter. As we get older, we can't really consume or digest the tablet form. So definitely taken it either in liquid or capsule form will be helpful for the digestion of that.
Important stuff right there. What about lifestyle modifications? What can one do to prevent the risk of having a stroke? You've put it beautifully regarding intake, what we need to do from a nutrition standpoint, all the modifications lifestyle-wise. What about that aspect?
One, stop smoking. One, I don't know how anyone affords to smoke anymore, but definitely stop smoking. Smoking causes a lot of plaque buildup in your arteries and your veins, and that causes a stroke. The stroke is caused by those plaque particles breaking off and heading into the direction of your brain and also towards your organs and so forth, depending on where the plaque clock goes. So definitely stop smoking. Increase physical activity. Find something that you absolutely adore to do, whether that's, you know, doing some sort of formal workout at the gym or, you know, kayaking, hiking. Find something you like to play. So get other people involved, because if you have a partner with it, you're definitely going to do it more often. My 14-year-old comes to the gym with me twice a week, and he pushes me. I can't spot him anymore because he's a lot stronger than me, but that pushes me to go. And he reminds me, hey, we didn't go today. We got to go. So find a partner to do something that you absolutely love to do. Maintain or achieve a healthy weight. I'm sure we've all seen that lovely weight chart in our doctor's office that they made years ago for insurance purposes. Not all of us can fit into those charts, but when I say to lose weight, it could be a minimum of 10%. What I like to tell patients is start with 5 pounds at a time. You didn't gain the weight overnight, and you're not going to lose it overnight. It's not a quick fix. So if you start with 10% and then aim for 5 pounds at a time, you'll be much happier. And then also just making sure that you're changing your diet, which we've talked about a lot, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fat-free, low-fat dairy, lean meat, your nuts, your seeds, and then just limiting your intake of sodium and sugars, and then also limiting alcohol. There are some studies out there that say, you know, red wine helps because of the antioxidants, but you can also get the same benefit from drinking grape juice. And also there's some theories that beer will help also, but definitely limiting it to one or two a day at the maximum. So those are the lifestyle changes that we make sure that we stress to our patients here at PBMC.
We're talking about nutrition, healthy lifestyles. Jennifer Burns Peterson is the nutrition clinical nutrition manager, we should say, PBMC. Stroke Awareness Month, what you need to know, folks. Very important stuff. Now, I understand you work with a multidisciplinary team, Jennifer. And what type of clinical expertise do they have?
We work very closely with our speech pathologist and also our occupational therapist. So our speech pathologists specialize in chewing, swallowing, all those mechanisms that are going to impact people's intake. They also work with memory and coordination and so forth. So sometimes we have patients that just need to be reminded to sit up straight when they're consuming food. It could be they need a head tilt or they need an altered texture diet. So we work very closely with our speech team to make sure that the foods are the right consistency and also fluid. So sometimes people can consume foods as whole, but they can't consume the liquids. We want to make sure that it's going down the right pipe, so to speak, and not ending up in the lungs. So we definitely work very closely with them. I'm probably on the phone with speech at least once a day, going over menu changes and so forth. Occupational therapy, we have to work with, which we have a phenomenal team here for that. And we work with them closely because there may be people who have a grip issue. They can't hold their fork or knife. They can't cut. So we do have adaptive equipment here. We have weighted utensils. We have built-up utensils. We do have some other adaptive equipment where there's sides to the dishes so people can scoop their food and not have it go all over them. We do have divided plates, so this way it's a little bit easier for patients to consume their food. We do work closely with them also on placement of foods on our trays because there are some people that, if they overreach, they may knock over their coffee or their tea or so forth. So we want to make sure that the tray is set up properly to make for that. We work constantly with our nursing team, whether it's the LPNs, the RNs, but we also work very closely with our PCTs and CNAs because they are the ones who are going to provide feeding assistance to our patients. So if anyone needs their food cut up, their containers opened, those are the people that we need to turn to and let them know, hey, this patient's having a grip issue. Can you make sure that they can get their products open, or they need encouragement to continue eating? Can you just go check on them every 10 minutes and say, hey, how you doing with your food? Or actually feeding them, depending on the level. And the levels of feeding are also dictated by our SLPs, our speech pathologists, and our occupational therapists. And then we also work with our physical therapy team because if we see that there's a weakness, we can go to the to the physical therapy team and say, hey, can you guys just look at their grip? You know, can we do something with equipment-wise, or is there some sort of strengthening exercise for them? So we are always talking to our interdisciplinary teams here. If you were to go around the hospital around 9 a.m., the hallways are kind of packed because the whole teams are meeting with each other, going over every single patient, how their care is, and so forth. So
you got a lot going on there. I have very little time remaining. Quickly, two more things. Does PBMC provide an outpatient nutrition program, anything like that set up?
We do. It is limited right now through Medicaid and Medicare. So right now the individual group counseling that we have is if anyone has diabetes or has kidney disease, that's not on dialysis. So it is limited. We are working on it. That's why we do those programs with cardiac rehab and soon-to-be the cancer center. So this way we're able to reach more people because the insurance carriers are we're limited with the insurance carriers at this point in time. Unfortunately, nutrition, you know, it's probably the same spot where nursing was years ago where we're here and we're providing a service, but we still need to definitely convince our insurance carriers that, hey, you know, we're part of the prevention and we're needed.
Jennifer, it has been enlightening. So much going on here. Everything you said is key, and especially about staying healthy. Folks, it's all about preventing, and it is Stroke Awareness Month. Jennifer Burns-Peterson, thanks so much. Hopefully we'll talk to you down the road. How's that?
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate it. Jay Oliver here. Another edition in the books as the medical experts, Peconic Bay Medical Center. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday. Happy Mother's Day to all. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.